Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We enjoyed all the singing. Went ahead and pulled my tie off early. I did wear one this morning. I just laying over there. I got the pretty thick one, and I got up here trying to sing, and I thought, I won't have a voice to even make it through a song. You know, we're thankful for what God's doing. As it's already been said, please remember the book out family. Also pray for, continue to pray for Brother Cecil Knowles. Let's also remember Miss Jessie Long. Remember Brother Tom Payne. I know Tom would love to be here. We'd love to see Brother Tom. We miss him. Also remember Brother Terry Hayes. You know, I sat there this morning and I thought, we got a lot of folks that I miss that I love to see. And we look at the Facebook scroll over there and we see the names and people say they miss us and we miss them. I want you to know, church, those of you that are listening on Facebook, we miss you. We're looking forward to the day that we can be able to come back together and not have to worry about all these things. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to keep on keeping on. And those that can come and are able to come and comfortable with coming, we will try to do things, to continue to do things to keep you as safe as we possibly can. But let's just be in prayer. Let's be in prayer for our country that we can keep moving forward and get this behind us. I want to say thank you for those that are serving. Miss Darla coming up and, you know, getting the children and taking them out, that means a lot. I'm looking forward to being able to get back to Awana. Thank those for working up in the sound booth and all that they do. They do a tremendous amount of things to help the church. You know, sometimes nobody can do it by themselves, okay? The pastor can't do it by himself. The deacons couldn't do it. The Sunday school teachers couldn't do it. We all have to work together, and everybody's very important. So thank you for what you do. Also want to say thank you again for your continued giving to the church. You know, we've been through almost a year now, better than 10 months that we've been dealing with this, and the church has continued to give, and our offerings have been, you know, good, and we're thankful for that. You know, you can give by going online, and you can give through our app and PayPal there through the account. You can also send things into our P.O. box at 524 Hiram, Georgia. And you say, well, why do you keep saying that? It's because we keep having light bills and we keep having insurance payments and we keep wanting to move forward for God. And here's something to understand. We're going to get through this. And when we do, we want to be strong enough to do what God wants us to do in this community. If we were able to reach those that need us, we couldn't hold them. And can I say this? Sometimes I've had people come up to me and, you know, they want to blame all the problems of the world on the church. They say it's the church's problem that people are living under bridges. And it's the church's problem that people are this and this. The church ought to do this and the church ought to do that. Here's my question for those people. What are you giving to the church? Then I hear people want to blame the church for all the problems in the world. It's the church's fault. Well, how much are you doing to serve God? You know, there's a lot of people come up to me and want to say that to me. I say, are you faithful? Are you consistent? Are you doing what God wants you to do? You know, I believe that we're living in the last days and we're living in a time of a falling away, but we're also living in a time what the Bible talks about, and it's going to be going on consistently and constantly together, is an outpouring of the Spirit of God at the same time while people are falling away. Well, how can that be? Here's how it can be. If you want something from God, you can have it. And just because the world is drifting away doesn't mean you have to be. And what I think is very important for Hiram First Baptist Church, and the reason we need to keep giving and we need to keep coming and we need to keep doing, is because until Jesus comes, people need to hear about God. People need to hear about Jesus, and there needs to be a church or churches in this land where the gospel is preached, where Jesus is proclaimed and lifted up, and where people can get saved. We need to be a place where people can get help, and that's very important. So thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for what you're giving, and thank you for what you're doing for God. Now, I got something a little different this morning. I don't know that I've ever preached quite the way that I'm going to preach this morning in this church. You might say that I'm going to teach a little bit, but I want to go through this third chapter of 2 Peter, and I want to go through the whole chapter expositorily, and I want to share some things with you, but I want to do as a preface, a prerequisite to go into the 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to go to John chapter number 14, and I want to read the first three verses to you this morning. And I got a question, a thought in my heart and my mind. You ever look around you at the world and you think, well, you know, what's going on? Where's God at? Even that's the question, is Jesus really coming back? And this morning, that's what I want to try to preach or preach on this morning, the question, is Jesus really coming back? That's why I want to go to the 14th chapter of John, and I want to read these three verses. And I want to use those as a prerequisite or a preface to go back to 2 Peter chapter number 3. But these are the words of Jesus Christ. They're written in the red letters that Brother Jonathan Wilburn was singing about when he was here a couple of weeks ago. And this is what Jesus said to us. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, folks, that's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus said to us. We often use those words in funerals, and God willing, as long as I'm alive and I do them, I'm sure I still will. Those words are comforting to me. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. You know, sometimes when you look at serving God and you look at coming to church, why do you do it? Why do you continue on? I'll tell you why. Because there's more than this life. Now, there's a lot of things here we're blessed with. There's things I'm thankful for. There's things I enjoy doing, things I'm going to keep trying to do. But there's more. And I want to go over now to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And I want to read this chapter. It's just 18 verses. And then I want to go back through them. And it's not going to take that much time. But this is in Peter's writing. And I want you to listen to some of the things he said as you compare them to what Jesus said. He said, this second epistle or the second letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found in him, of him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked shall fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now that's the whole chapter. But I want us to look at these scriptures. We read in John chapter 14, and those words to us are comforting. They bring hope and they bring peace. You know, but if we begin to think about it, it also creates questions, probing thoughts, provoking thoughts. Sometimes even when you begin to talk about them, it provokes arguments. I can remember not long ago, I got an email from a person, and the person was talking about a funeral, and they made very light of it. And I want to tell you something, the way that I look at a funeral for a Christian, it's a very serious thing to me. It's an important thing to me. And it's the reason that I believe we need to continue and keep going down the path that we're going to serve God, to lift up the name of God, because we believe that there's more. There's more. And when we look at what's written here in the Bible, and we look at what's written in John chapter 14, and we look at 2 Peter, when he starts off, he begins to say unto them in these first two verses, he said, I'm writing to you for two reasons. Number one, I want you to remember. He said, I want to stir up your minds. I want you to be stirred up in your thoughts and in your mind to remember the things that were written unto you. Remember the things that the holy prophet said. And then he says the second part of it is to remember the commandments of us. Now, and here's what he's saying. Remember our responsibility for knowing and understanding these things. You see, as Christians, and I am a Christian, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in heaven. I believe I'm going to heaven. I believe it's also my responsibility as we begin to look at what's going on around us to remember these things. To remember the things of God, remember what the Word of God says, remember what the Bible says. Because it tells us that there's going to come in the last days scoffers. Now, what is a scoffer? It's one who comes and when you say something about God, and you say, well, do you know Jesus? And they say, well, why Jesus? Why do I need Jesus? The Bible tells us that we should be prepared and ready to give an account to every man of the hope that lies within us. You know, you can't force God on anybody. I don't think God wants us to do that. But I need to be prepared to give my testimony, not be ashamed of my testimony, so that I may be able to help somebody. And can I tell you this? It's kind of hard to help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. And sometimes you got to get to the point that you know, if you can't help them, you move on to somebody that you can. Because we're living in the days where they scoff at the things of God. Verse number 4, it talks about mockers. And they say, where is Jesus? And here's what people say. And Peter wrote it in his day. He said, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. You know, I've heard people say this. Well, I've heard preachers preaching about Jesus coming all my life, and he hadn't come yet. Well, he is going to come. And one thing we can certainly say if we look around us at the world today, we can't say nothing's changed. We can't say it's just like it used to be. Sometimes I wish that we could just require that there be an education of nothing but history to where people would understand how much that this world has changed in the past 100 years, in the past 1,000 years, that we would get an understanding of the history of the United States to understand its foundation was built on biblical principles for the honor and glory of God. And they say, well, you know, I've heard it all my life. My granddaddy preached about it. His granddaddy preached about it. The prophets wrote about it. Well, can I tell you, one day we're going to hit a wall, and we're going to be at a wall to where God the Father is going to stand up and look at his son. And he's going to say, go get your children. You see, the scripture says in the 5th and the 6th verse, and this is what's sad, but here's where we are. Says they are willingly ignorant of that the word, by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And then it talks about in the 6th verse, the world being overflowed by water. You know, we're living in a world today to where they will literally try their very best to force the theory of evolution on you, not because it's proved or it can be proved, but the idea of God is unthinkable to a pagan. And that's where we're at today. You know, when even in Cobb County several years ago, they wanted to put the evolution as a theory, just a little sticker on the textbooks. You know, they don't teach evolution and creation as an option because those who have the higher degrees or the abilities, and by the way, can I tell you that just going to school, just going to college doesn't make you intelligent because the Bible says that in the last days they would be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And because the idea of God is unthinkable, they are willingly ignorant. Now, what about the flood? You know, if you ever really study about the flood, and I have, and sometimes you hear it, and I get to where sometimes we pass over it. We know we pass over it. You know, the earth is millions and millions of years ago old, and they talk about carbon dating, and you hear all of those things, and then you look at the Grand Canyon, you look at Niagara Falls, you look at the fossils, you look at oil, you look at all the things that are going on this earth today, and there's so much scientific evidence of a great flood, but it's not talked about. Why? Because people are willingly ignorant of the fact that there is a God in heaven, because if they're not willingly ignorant, and they say, yes, there's a God, then guess what? They must be accountable to Him. And that's why they reject Him. You know, if you look at verse number 7, here's where it begins to start to point to some things that people need to understand. It says, the heavens and the earth are now kept by the same word. What word? The word of God. Here's what I understand. I cannot add anything to myself. I can't stand up before God and shake my fist because I cannot actually proclaim that I am sure that I'm going to have my next breath. But the Bible tells me that the world that we're living in is held in His hand. It's held by the hand of God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, He said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you will build unto me? As big as it is to us, it's held and kept in store, and the scripture says, reserved for the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Well, what's perdition? Here's the definition. It is a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unrepentant person passes after death. People don't want to hear that. People don't believe that. You know what happens when you say something like that in the world today? You're scoffed at. Ah, ha, ha. I don't believe that. What do you believe? You believe you're going to live forever? You're not. Do we believe we came from monkeys? I don't. I don't even give those people the time of day. I believe I came from God. And I believe that one day I'm going to stand before God. And I'm looking forward to that day. Not because I'm good, not because I'm perfect, but because He is my Savior. And He died on the cross for my sins. Well, look at verse number 8. It says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. And here's what I need us to try to stop for just a minute and take our limited minds that are finite and bring them down to a place that's small. You know, for us to try to understand the mind of God, I've heard it said, it's like a minnow surveying the ocean. Right now, it is true, and I believe it's true, that we know more about outer space than we do about the depths of the sea. And if we begin to try with our limited understanding to understand God, even to fully understand each verse, have you ever talked to anybody and it's kind of like this? And sometimes I'm just a listener, okay? And I'll tell you, I don't know everything about the Bible. I just know what God showed me. You ever talk to anybody and they start talking about the book of Revelation and they'll say, yeah, it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. And they go right through it line by line and they tell you they got it figured out. And then, you know, it's kind of peculiar to me. I go to the next person. It may be a person three rows over from them in the same church. Hey, what about so-and-so? Oh, it's this and it's this and it's this and it's this. You know, let's just be honest and understand. There's some things we're not going to know until we stand before God. And I'd tell you to be leery of anybody that thinks they know it all. My mind is finite. But one thing I can look at in understanding God's time clock is if you understand Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, the scripture says that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. What does that mean? That at the very right time, Jesus Christ came into the world. And at the very right time, God is going to come back. Now here's something to understand about, I do know about God's time clock. God's time clock has two sides. Some things, if you understand prophecy and scripture, happen very, very slow. Some things or events happen very, very fast. Trying to read and interpret what a prophet said and think you've got it all is very, very difficult. But here's one thing I know about a prophet, is if it's a true prophet of God, everything they say is going to come to pass. Not part of it. You ever heard some of these and they say, well, you know, we got that one right, but what about the next one? All I can tell you today of these people that are walking around proclaiming to be self-proclaimed prophets, watch them. It won't take them long. They'll have their foot in their mouth all the way up to the knee. But when we read the Word of God, here's what I want you to understand. Peter's trying to say, all right, let's slow down a minute. Let's stir up our minds. Let's remember what God said. Remember what the prophet said. Now let's get down to verse number 9. Well, I've heard it all my life, they say. Why is it, Lord, come back? Look at verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. You know, what we have in the world today is we have people who won't serve God, who say they don't believe God or believe in God, but when things get difficult, they sure do want to blame God. You ever heard it? You know, well, if there's a loving God, why does this happen? If there's a loving God, why does that happen? You know, there's a song that Wilburn and Wilburn have, Don't Blame God, You Asked Him to Leave. That song was played on Southern Gospel radio stations, and there were people associated with Southern Gospel radio stations that asked them not to play it. Why? Because it was offensive today. You know, if there's a shooting at a school, we want to say God's not sovereign. God's not in control. Why is that happening? If there's some type of a murder or gang violence, where's God? I want to tell you where God's at. He's crying and weeping just like he stood before Jerusalem and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and slayest them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children as a mother hen, as a brood with under her wings, and you would not. You see, for the Christian, everything that we go through, even when we hurt at our worst, God walks with us. And here's what I believe about where we're at in America today. I believe the reason that Jesus has not come back is somebody's praying. The Bible says he's not slack concerning his promises, but it says his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know that if we go to the Old Testament, we find a very similar scripture. The Bible says that, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, he wants every person to come. And when do we decide? I wouldn't want to be the one to decide that, okay, Lord, we've had enough. Hiram's had enough. Hiram First Baptist Church has had enough. We've had enough in America, and I just want you to come back right now and take us all to heaven. Now, I'm going to heaven one day, but let me tell you what that's going to mean for a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of us that are going to have loved ones that are going to be left behind. And some mama's praying somewhere. She's praying for a son. There's a lady right now that's praying for a husband. She's saying, God, would you please save my husband? There's a mother who is weeping and crying over her son. And she's saying, God, my son's in trouble. I've done everything that I can to help him. Would you please reach down, Lord, with your mighty hand and save my son? You know, as much as you and I say, and the scripture does say this, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Do you know that there are people right now that are praying, God, please don't come back today. God, I know America's in trouble. Lord, I know we need revival. But God, my son's not saved. God, my husband's not saved. God, my mother's not saved. Please don't come back today. He's not slack. He's just long-suffering. People are not going to stand before God and say, well, God, you know, you can't turn me away because you never gave me a chance. The Bible teaches us that nature itself teaches us certain things. One thing I know about serving God, everybody don't have to be like me and you to serve God. They can look different, they can sound different, they can smell different. But it's what's in here. That's why people sometimes, and you can find them, and I remember I heard a story of a missionary boy that got saved in India. Sometimes we think we're doing something great. You know, we go over there and we find somebody, and the missionaries found this boy. He got saved, and he was trying to serve God. And when they found him, they wanted to bring him back to America to educate him, you know. And he came over here, and they put him in seminary. And he told them, I need to go home. He said, you're not teaching me anything that God hasn't taught me in my chair. They talked to him, what are you talking about? He said, well, I have a wooden chair that I used to sit in and pray and seek God. He said, then rather than sitting in the chair, I got to the point that I was kneeling at the chair. Now, this folks, this took some talking to get this out of this boy. But he said, I would kneel at my chair and I would pray. And he said, I got to the point that rather than kneeling at the chair, I so wanted God to teach me things. He said that I would kneel on my knees and hold the chair in my hand like this up over my head. And he said it was between me and it was God. You know how you're going to learn something from God? You got to want something from God. And when we look at who God is today, He's not slack, and He's not short-handed. He's not surprised, but He's long-suffering so that all should come to repentance. Somebody's looking for God not to come. But in verse number 10, it says this. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. What does that mean? That means people are not going to be expecting it. You know, sometimes we lay down and we lock the door, we flip the deadbolt. Sometimes we got more than one lock on the door. The ice maker will make a racket dropping ice cubes and we get up out of the bed. What was that? You know, people sometimes, and I've heard people say this, well, the Lord can't come back, it's not bad enough. And I said, what are you talking about? Well, we're not in a famine, we're not all starving. The Bible says there will be pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All you got to do is look at history and understand the frequency and the seriousness of the storms and how they've changed over the past 100 years. Then it says there will be famines and pestilences. Let me tell you something, folks. You ever thought about Ebola? You ever thought about coronavirus? You ever thought about swine flu? You ever thought about the Spanish flu? I want to tell you, it's nothing compared to what might be out there that you and I don't know about. But it doesn't mean that everybody's got to be starving to death. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What were they doing? They married, they gave in marriage. In other words, they were going right on with their lives, thinking everything was all right, blind and oblivious to the fact that there was a great flood coming. Now, Noah told them, but they didn't believe him. Here we are today, the preachers in America, like my dad, like Brother Quinn Evans, like Brother Harley Kimmons. And I could go down a list of men in my lifetime that I've heard preach that Jesus is coming. But did people believe them? I was talking to Brother Allen a minute ago when we were talking about a preacher. I talked to a preacher and he said, I don't know why. He said, but every Sunday I go to church and God's given me the same message. And he said, I've even asked God, why won't you let me preach something else? He said, the Holy Spirit said, when they start doing that one, we'll do something else. When are we going to believe what the Bible says that Jesus is coming? He's going to come like a thief. That means people are not going to be looking for him. They're not going to expect him. Why? It's not because they weren't told that he was coming, because they didn't believe that he was coming. You know, I was up, I guess it's been about 2 summers ago, in Pigeon Forge. And I went into that little church that's there in that little valley, you know, where that wooden carving of Jesus is at. I'm sure y'all, most all of you have seen that. They got a little prayer book over on the side, and you can write your prayer request. Let me tell you something. America's in trouble, and here's why. I read some of the prayer requests. Here's one of them. It said, pray for our planet. Here's another one. It said, pray for the earth that we would not destroy it. Now, folks, I want to tell you something about what's going to happen to this earth. It's right here in the Word of God. Verse number 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What are you talking about? Verse number 10 says this, says the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Here's what I want you to understand. We were never intended for this. We were intended for something greater. Paul said that he desired not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. God had allowed him to see things that were too wonderful for him to even write about. And he saw it, he desired it, he believed it, and he knew what it meant, and he said it. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. You see, so what's going to happen to this earth? The Bible says that heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The heavens. Remember, there's a first, second, and a third heaven. And then he says the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And he says the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now let's look at verse number 12. It says looking for. Are we looking for Jesus to come? You know, you go to the Gospels and you read the book of Mark and you read the book of Matthew, and it talks repeatedly about watch. Watch. We need to be watching and we need to be listening for the sounds. It says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the hell, here it is again, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It says we need to be looking. We need to be understanding that there's coming a day when the Lord's going to come. And then it says, number 13, it links them together. It says, nevertheless, we according to his promise, we, saved born again Christians, according to the promise of God. Remember, the scripture says that he's not slack concerning his promise, as the world counts slackness, and it is impossible for him to lie. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now let's go back to John chapter 14. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. And it says this, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, here's what's exciting to me about heaven. You know, I enjoy a lot of things here. I really do. I do. I mean, I love to see the seasons change. I love the wildlife. I love to be on the water when the sun sets. It's beautiful. I love being around my grandkids. I love blessing my kids. I love being around God's people. But I don't like the effects of the curse. And when we get to heaven, wherein dwelleth righteousness, there's all the good. Here's what I believe about heaven. I know this is just what I believe. I believe we're going to have all the good and none of the bad. We're not going to have all the crime. We're not going to have all the sin. We're not going to have all the trouble. You're not going to have to worry about locking that door at night. You're not going to have to worry about having a pain like most men do and saying, I'm not going to the doctor. That's what I tell my wife. They'll have to come get me. Won't have to worry about it no more. Won't have to worry about the effects of the curse, because God has prepared something greater for us. And here's what I believe about it. When you get to heaven, you're going to be satisfied. You're not going to get there and say, oh, I thought it'd be this way or I thought it'd be that way. You are going to be satisfied. Verse number 14. Linking together again. It says, wherefore, beloved, brethren, family of God, seeing that you look for these things, be diligent. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, church, here's where we have to be careful. And this is what concerns me. It concerns me for the church. It concerns me for our young people. It concerns me for the world. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of change going on in the world. There's change in what people believe. And here's where we're at today. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 5, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're in a place today to where what we used to automatically accept as being right has been challenged so much that I'm seeing more and more and more people slipping away. You know why? Because it's politically incorrect to preach the way I'm preaching this morning. Politically incorrect. It's politically incorrect to say Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. It's politically incorrect to say that I believe the Bible is the Word of God and it's the greatest authority given to man. But it says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless in Jesus. Now, does that mean perfect? Here's what that means. That means you got one God and you're walking with him. You know what the Bible says about David? Y'all know what David's sin was? David did some bad things. You know, that's why I'm not God. He'd have never made it to the end. I'd have got him. But I'd probably been done got too, right? David did all those horrible things, but you know what the Bible says about David? And I'm going to tell you why it says this about him. And it's speaking of Solomon, his son. Remember, Solomon was so wise. It said, Solomon walked not before the Lord with a perfect heart, as did David, his father. A perfect heart. It wasn't because he didn't sin in the flesh. He didn't make bad decisions. I'll tell you why the Bible said he had a perfect heart. Because you will not find it in the Bible where David ever followed a false god. You'll find it where Solomon did. You'll find it where many of the other kings did. But I want to tell you, David knew who God was even when he was wrong. And let me tell you something, we're not going to be perfect in the flesh, but one thing we can honestly not falter on is we know who our God is. And we're going to stay in line with him. And when we're in trouble, we're going to run to him. Yeah. And it says in the 15th verse, the first part, says, and to count or remember or acknowledge it as such. It's going back to the 9th verse again. That the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, is one reference verse. If you go back over there, it says this, and he's talking about how the people had rejected God. He said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, I'm glad I didn't get what I deserved, but I'm glad that God kept caring for me. You see, he's referencing back again, and in the latter part of this verse, Peter is acknowledging Paul's writing. Well, why do we have this? Why do we have the Bible? It's the Word of God. It's true. We have it to lift us up, to encourage us, to teach us, to tell us as we enter these times and we see the things that are happening around us, not to get discouraged or pulled into the world, but to continue to believe what the Word of God says and to basically just keep looking for Jesus to come, because when it gets like this, it's getting close. Now look at verse number 16. We just got just a couple more verses. It talks about things that are hard to be understood. And that's where the world's at today. And see, I just don't understand all that. I just don't get it. I just don't think I believe that. But here's something to understand about the scriptures. And it's not about what version you read, but it's this. It's not carnal. It's not easy to read, because in order to understand it, you must understand it spiritually. In other words, it is impossible for a person that's lost without God to understand and appreciate the things of God. That's why when you're trying to help somebody and you understand it, in one place in the New Testament it talks about not to cast your pearls before the swine. In another place it talks about when you've offered or given the word and they won't receive it, when you leave that place to shake the dust off of your feet. Now folks, I'm not telling you to flippantly reject anybody or not to share Jesus Christ, but I want you to understand this. There's some people that will never understand the things of God because they're not going to surrender to the convictions of God. They don't believe God. They won't surrender to God. And when they get to the point that they're making mockery of the things that are the most precious in my life, I'm not going to give them to them to make fun of. I want to move forward and find somebody that I can help. Says it's not easy to read. Just because it's not easy to read, it's not the answer. Sometimes when we read God's word, we think, well, I've got to do my duty and I'm going to sit down tonight and I'm going to read 3 chapters and I'm going to check the box. Sometimes we need to take the word of God and open it and say, God, just like David did in the book of Psalms, he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It says that they which are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also unto their own destruction. And here's where I believe that's talking about. Is in judging God, they reject God. And can I tell you today, I struggle with things I don't understand. I struggle sometimes when I see things happen that break my heart. I struggle when my prayers don't get answered the way that I want them to. I struggle when I see suffering, and especially suffering among God's people. And I do. I don't have the answer. But I can remember, and you're going to hear this again because this is on my heart. I can remember sitting down with my dad and talking to him about things that I didn't understand, and the wisdom that he had with, you know, it's not about the education because he never finished the 8th grade. But he knew God. And he spent time like this missionary did, holding his chair up over his head. I remember watching my dad grow up. Every night he would get down by the bed and pray. And it's just my dad's conviction. This is the way he was. I've actually seen him get up and put his pants and his shirt on just so that he could go pray. Now, that's his conviction. But I want to tell you something. It stuck in my heart and in my mind. When I would hear him cry and pray for people, as my mother said, had been mistreating him. And he would get down literally before God and pray. He was looking for God to give him wisdom. And God did. I remember my dad told me, he said, son, never let the things that you do not understand keep you from holding to the things that you do understand. We know that there's a God. We know that there's a creator. We know that there's a heaven. And if you've been saved, you know you've been saved. And I know those things. I don't have the answers to all the reasons why and why things happen the way that they do and why things are going on in this nation the way that they are. But one thing I'm not going to do is, because I don't understand, is wrestle with God to the point that I judge God, and rejecting God, I lose my peace with God. That's where the world's at today. What happens when you take God out? You get a lot of what you're seeing. What do they say? Don't blame God if you've asked him to leave. Look at verse 17. It says, seeing that you know these things, we as Christians, seeing that you know these things, it actually says, beware. Beware lest ye be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Here's the danger. Just because it's popular don't mean it's right. I heard a preacher say one time, he was preaching, he said, it's okay to be opinionated when you're right. And here's how you know you're right: when you're lined up with the Word of God. It says, beware lest ye be led away and fall from your steadfastness. In other words, don't get complacent. Don't follow the world. And let me tell you something, church. Sometimes it's going to get tough, and it does get tough. Don't quit. Don't quit. You know, we want to finish strong, and we want to do what we do for the honor and glory of God. Somebody's watching us. Somebody's relying on us. And then it gets down to the 18th verse, and then we've got that linking word. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. Rather than slipping or falling away, grow in grace. And folks, I need grace in my life. I need grace for me, but I need grace for me to give other people. You know that? Sometimes we got to give other people grace. Grow in grace. And then it says, and in knowledge. And look at the latter part of this. Very important. It says, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Remember we say it's not about us, it's about him. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's the way it ought to be in everything that we do. God needs to be lifted up. He needs to be first. And when we worship, we ought to worship, do all that we do for his honor and glory. The Bible does teach, all that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And as we learn and we are faithful and remember what the Word of God says and understand it, you know, there's a song that we used to sing. I was in a youth choir way back in the day. And it says, I think I'll read it again and let it bless my soul. Any of you ever heard that? Think I'll read it again and let it bless my soul. Sometimes when we're looking around us and we think, well, what in the world's going to happen? What are we going to do? Maybe we need to do this. Turn off the news. Turn off the TV. Get our Bible and say, God, just show me something to help me. And he'll do that. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff if he would come back and sing another song this morning. If you're here this morning, I ask you to rise to your feet. If you got something you'd like to pray about, you can come pray. And if you don't have anything particular on your heart, maybe you can come pray for the Book Out family this morning. God knows that they're going to need the grace. They need that grace. So let's pray this morning. Let's pray. Lift up the name of the Lord. If God spoke to you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you get saved the same way you always have. You just come and say, Lord, I feel something inside of my heart. I feel you pulling at me. Lord, I know that you love me. Just ask God, very simply. It's not necessarily the words you say as it is the heart getting in the right place. You say, Lord, would you have mercy on me, a sinner? And he will. If you'd like to pray, would you come?